ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So before I speak, I always chant a particular two-set mantra because it puts me in the mood, the proper mood. So that mantra, Trinadapi Sunichena Turar Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. I must always be meek and humble. I must be more tolerant than a tree. I must give all respect to others and not care about respect from anyone. And in this way, I can always easily chant and preach the holy name of the Lord because Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namai Vakibalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. This is the age of Kali. When did the age of Kali begin? The day Lord Krishna left this planet Earth. He appeared 5,000 years ago. Tomorrow we commemorate that appearance, Janmashtami, on the eighth day of the waning moon. And when he left, he stayed on this earth for 125 years. And when he left, the age of Kali began, the age of quarrel, hypocrisy, irreligion, confusion. So in this age of Kali, there is only one thing necessary for salvation, for deliverance, for religiousness, for happiness, for success, security. Only one thing. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. The holy name, the holy name, the holy name of Lord Hari. Everyone please say Hari means he takes away all your inauspiciousness. Remember that. The Lord will take away only those things which are inauspicious, which are bad for you. Like a parent with a child. The parent lets the child play. But when the parent sees that there's some danger, the parent quickly removes that danger. Why? Love. And the parent wants all auspiciousness for the child. Krishna is everyone's original father. He says so in the Bhagavad Gita. Aham bija pita. So, he is known as Hari because he is very, very concerned about your welfare. He is considerate. When you approach him, when you ask something from him, like a parent, he first of all considers whether the request by his child is actually good for him or her. So Hari means he takes away those things which will do you harm. Now we all have experience. The child being ignorant, when the parent takes away something which is actually harmful for the child, many times the child will cry and wine and go on and on and on, not knowing that the parent is actually doing something for the child's own good. The child is ignorant. We are also ignorant. We don't know what's actually good for us, but the Lord does. So when you see that you've asked for something and He's not given it to you, remember, He's doing that out of concern and love. Because we don't really know what's, we think we know, but we don't know. We don't know the future. He does. We're going to see that. He knows what's good. So the good devotee, the good child, always trusts in the Lord. Even when it seems like the desire is not being fulfilled, the wish is not being fulfilled, the request is not being answered, the good child, the good devotee knows, the Lord has not given me what I want because it was not good for me. The Lord knows what I need. So in this age of Kali, there's only one process. The only process that will work is this process of chanting, Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There is a nice section in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is the best scripture in the whole world. Nothing compares to Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because it is spoken by your father, your original father, your spiritual father, God, Krishna, who you have an eternal relationship with. And He's in your heart. That Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita for your and for my benefit. Although Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra 5,000 years ago, in your India, I can't say my India, Bhagavad Gita was not spoken in New York City or Placentia or Yorba Linda. It was spoken in your India. It is your book. But I wonder how many of us are reading. That is the question. How many are reading the book that was spoken in your country, India? So, there's a nice section in the Bhagavad Gita. And as I said, although Krishna spoke 5,000 years ago to Arjuna, actually, He's speaking for me and you, the people of the age of Kali. Krishna knew very well that His pastimes were about to end. The battle of Kurukshetra was one of the final pastimes, Leelas. So Krishna knew very well what He was doing. So Bhagavad Gita is actually for us, the people of Kali Yuga, the people who are lost and suffering and crying. Bhagavad Gita is meant to give us solace, to give us security, to give us hope. So there's a nice section in chapter 4. So I'd like to read this little section because it'll put you in the mood for wanting to understand Krishna. So please follow along with me. Arjuna uvacha aparang bhavato janma parang janma vivasvatah katam etad vijaniyam tvam adau proktavan iti. So Bhagavad Gita is in the format of questions and answers. Arjuna, the surrendered disciple, Shishyastehum, has been asking his guru, Krishna, questions. And this is one of the questions. The sun god is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? Because in the previous three verses of this chapter, Krishna said, oh, millions of years ago, I spoke when I'm speaking to you to the sun god, Vivaswan. And Vivaswan gave it to his son, and he gave it to his son. And in this way, by disciplic succession, Bhagavad Gita came down to human society. And then Krishna pointed out, but somewhere along the line, somewhere along the path, the succession was broken. Someone didn't pass on the message. It wasn't as it is. So Krishna said to Arjuna, I am now going to speak that same knowledge to you. Why? And this is very important. What are the qualifications for understanding Bhagavad Gita? Bhakto sime sakha cheti. Two qualifications. Not PhD. Not Dr. Frog. The only two qualifications, and it's not a question of rich or poor, young or old, Indian or American. Nope. Those are not the considerations. Sindhi, Hindi, Bindi, doesn't matter. The only two qualifications necessary, bhakta, are you Krishna's devotee? Sakha, are you Krishna's friend? That means Krishna is a person. You can't be a friend to some inanimate object. Oh, my bell is my friend. No, friend means person. Therefore, Krishna is a person. God is ultimately a person. So Krishna said, Arjuna, I'm speaking to you because you are my devotee and you are my friend. And if we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, that's all that's required. You have to become Krishna's devotee and Krishna's friend. Simple. So, after Arjuna heard all of this, that's why he's asking this question. You spoke this millions of years ago to the sun god, but you and I are contemporaries. I've known you since the start. We've done many things together. Arjuna even helped Krishna get one of his wives, Kalindi. Arjuna and Krishna have done many things together. They've eaten together, fought together, talked together, sat with each other. Very intimate relationship. Otherwise, why is Krishna his chauffeur? Why do we see in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says to Krishna, take my chariot. Look at that. Somebody is ordering God, take my chariot. We can't do that. We can't even order our own family members to do something. They always give you a hard time. What? I gotta do that? Do it yourself. But Krishna, he's humble, agreed to be Arjuna's chauffeur. And when Arjuna said, take my... Krishna took the chariot. And then Krishna said, see, look. Look who you're going to fight. And when Arjuna saw who he had to fight, his friends, his guru, his teachers, the great, great grandfather Bhishma, became so disturbed. He dropped his bow. I can't do this. I have to kill Bhishma, the great Bhishma. I have to kill my teacher, Dronacharya, and all these people that I grew up with. I can't do this. But Arjuna then got control of his senses and said to Krishna, Shishyastehum, Nana, I'm confused. You act as my guru. You please instruct me because it is very crucial time now, the war. So let's see what Krishna says to Arjuna. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bahuni Me Vyatitani Janmani Tavacharjuna Tanyahang Veda Sarvani Natwang Veda Parantapa. The personality of Godhead said, very significant. When Vyasadeva wrote this Bhagavad Gita and put it in within the pages of the Mahabharata, he very, purposefully put Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, not Sri Krishna Uvacha. If he had put Sri Krishna Uvacha, then people would think, somebody named Krishna is speaking, so what? There are so many Krishnas, and there are so many opinions. It's like you go on the TV, right? Channel 2 has the news, Channel 4 has the news, Channel 7 has the news. No matter which channel, they're all saying the same thing, only one has a prettier girl than the other one. So it's like, whatever, Fox Noise or whatever, take your channel, doesn't matter. But not here. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Person is speaking. The person who has all the opulences that we are hankering for, he's already got them. He has them unlimitedly. Bhagavan, God himself. Many, many births both you and I have passed, Arjuna. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. That is the difference between us and God. God also appears birth after birth, appearance after appearance, but not like we. We are taking birth, samsara. This is one thing every Hindu should know inherently. This concept of samsara. Every Hindu person by birth understands or should understand this concept, samsara. This is not the only life. I've had many lives in the past, and I have many more chapters to come. This life is not all in all. And Krishna said, yes. The difference between me and you is I remember all my so-called, quote-unquote, births. But you, Arjuna, do not. No, we don't. We don't remember. That is why Krishna is supreme and we are subordinate. There's only one instance. Let's go on. Now, Krishna is going to explain his unique position. Because God is not something that you can be voted into. You can be president, all right, for maybe 8 years. Maybe. Some people may not make 8 years. You can be voted, that's all right. But you cannot be elected to the post of God. No applications being accepted. Position is already taken permanently. So Krishna is here pointing out in this section his unique status. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropi san prakritin swam adhishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Although I am unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So here, this is interesting. Krishna is saying he's unborn. Then why are we celebrating Janmashtami? Huh? Does that make sense? Materially, it doesn't. Materially, you're thinking, oh, this is nonsense. But once you have spiritual understanding, you can understand that Krishna is unborn and at the same time born. In the Bhagavatam, you see on this Janmashtami night, Krishna appeared first as what? Narayan, Vishnu form. Then changed himself to look like ordinary human baby. And Devaki was pregnant. She was developing in the pregnancy. Kamsa was noticing that his sister within his prison was becoming more and more beautiful as the pregnancy developed. He had never seen his sister so effulgent, well, because she's carrying God within her. Not an ordinary baby. So, Krishna was playing drama. Leela means drama. That's why I've said for the past 30 years, I want to see at the Academy Awards, and I want to make the statement that I want to be invited and I'll get up on the podium. Lifetime Achievement Award for the best role as an actor, Krishna. Yes, I would love to have that spot. So Krishna is playing like an ordinary human child, and therefore it appears that he has taken birth from the womb of Devaki. But he's saying here, but I'm unborn. I existed before this. Before this whole drama took place, I was already existing. Then he says, my transcendental body never deteriorates. That's why we know this body is not transcendental. You all know that. Every day you look in the mirror, what do you notice? Another wrinkle, another gray hair, another loose tooth, another, ooh, ow, ow. You get up in the morning and every day it's like, oh my God. You're noticing this body is deteriorating moment by moment. We say in America, you're not getting any younger. Even the stupid Americans knew that. I say stupid because they don't know transcendental knowledge. I can say that because I'm one of those stupid Americans. Or I used to be. Try not to be. So we know very well this body is deteriorating. Krishna says, my body never deteriorates. When Krishna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was 125 years old. How did he look? 16. Pretty good, huh? That's my God. I like that kind of God. Not the God, old man with the beard. I like this youthful God. He's 125 years old, looks 16. And he's got only 16,000 wives? Wow, I like that God. He's something else, this God. He's, wow. And I, although I am the Lord of all living entities, I already stated that. He's everyone's father, not just human beings. Aham bija pada pita, all the species of life. Every living thing is coming from Krishna. But he says, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form, like he did 5,000 years ago. That was not an incarnation. That was the avatari, the original source of all the incarnations. Krishna goes on talking about his unique position. Everybody knows these next two verses. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam tadharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. It's like a scale. We have here my good friend, Radhakrishna Das. So you're a lawyer, right? You're a type of lawyer. So you know that famous scales of justice, right? right? If one is increasing, the other one must be decreasing. They can't both be going up. Correct? So, if irreligion is increasing, that necessarily means religion is decreasing. You can't have an increase of irreligion and simultaneously an increase of irreligion. Don't work that way. One's going up, the other's going down. So Krishna says, I come when I see that irreligion is on the rise. So I'm asked all the time by people, Prabhuji, this is the age of Kali. Irreligion is on the uprise. Everything is getting badder and badder and badder. Why isn't Krishna coming? He says he comes. Why isn't he coming? And my answer is he's already come. And I'm not talking about 5,000 years ago. He's come. He's here. But you don't know where to find him. Where is he? He's in this Hare Krishna movement. Krishna is dealing with this irreligion in the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If everybody or more people take to this chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra, then you will see a decrease of irreligion. But it begins with me and it begins with you. Too often, human beings, they want somebody else to fix the problem. They're depending on the crooked politicians to solve their, but they ain't solving it, are they? You've seen, haven't you, in the last couple of years, what our Republicans and Democrats are doing. Are they doing anything? They haven't solved one thing, have they? Talk, 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 talk. Oh, and you know what's interesting? They've got lifetime, I think you sent me the email, I think it was you, lifetime package when they retire, right? For life? How many of you got that? And they've got, I mean, they were fighting over this Obamacare, but they've got great health care, don't they? Hypocrites. Get rid of all of them. Vote for me. I'll fix it. That's a joke. I wouldn't go into politics. They'd kill me. Anyway, the point remaining, the way to establish religion, don't wait for somebody else. You do it. You become pious. You become saintly by taking up this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra yourself and then give it to others. Spread it like an epidemic. But it begins with you and me. I can say I've dedicated my life to the spreading of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Some of you here have also. But we need more. We need more. Until I hear the President of the United States go on TV and say, my fellow Americans, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Until then, keep it up. Keep preaching, keep chanting. Everyone should be doing it more and more. One more time, everybody. Pritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharmasangsthapanartaya sambhavame yuge yuge. Besides establishing religion and defeating irreligion, Krishna comes for two more purposes. To deliver the devotees. Deliver them. Save them. Take care of them. And if you chant the Maha Mantra, Krishna will unfailingly give you his mercy. So many times, people come up to me, Prabhuji, please give me blessings. And I give my blessings. But if you want constant blessings, just take to this Maha Mantra. Lord Chaitanya said that if you chant this Maha Mantra, Krishna will unfailingly give you his mercy. I've been chanting Maha Mantra since 1973. Why would I continue if I wasn't getting Krishna's mercy? So take it from me. This Maha Mantra, what Lord Chaitanya said, is the, you can bank on it. Take it to the bank. Chant this Maha Mantra and Krishna will unfailingly give you his mercy. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. Therefore, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Krishna. It's not a symbol. It is Krishna. It is Krishna's incarnation in sound. Just as you all know Om, right? Everybody say Om. So you know, in India, everybody knows, this Omkar is transcendental sound vibration. This Omkar is contained within this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra is the Krishna avatar in the age of Kali. If you want Krishna, then you will take this Maha Mantra. Everybody chant one time for me. One more verse. Oh, good. I meant I was going to do one more verse, but that's good. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. This verse is the verse that is the impetus why you should become Krishna's devotee. Why? Krishna is saying, Janma Karma Divyam. Krishna is saying, my so-called birth, he uses the word Janma, my karma, my activities, Divyam, divine, transcendental. There is no fault, no sin, no mistake, no contamination in any of Krishna's Leela, in his drama. You may see, or you may think, or you may doubt, Krishna did this, Krishna did that. No. Krishna here is establishing my birth and my activities, divyam, divine, transcendental, flawless, faultless, no sin, pure and uncontaminated. That's the first thing. Now he says, evam yoveti tatvataha. Therefore, you should understand Krishna's birth and activities in truth. In order to do that, you need to read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, following the disciplic succession, coming down from Krishna himself. That's what it means in tattva, as it is. No speculation. Just like when you go to a doctor and the doctor prescribes medicine and diet for your condition, you don't deviate. Whatever the doctor tells you to do, you do it, then you're going to get better. So in the same way, the guru, the spiritual master, is your spiritual doctor. He prescribes to you how you are to understand Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, so that you will understand Krishna in truth as it is. Why? Why should you understand Krishna in truth? It's for your benefit. What does he say? Chaktva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. Arjuna, just for understanding who I am, what is my birth, and what is my activities, at the end of this life, you're going to my abode and not coming back here. Now, I don't know about you, because I have heard many times people say, Prabhuji, I don't mind coming back. Fine, you can come back. I don't want to come back. I don't know about you, because you may not come back in Beverly Hills. You may come back in Iraq. I don't think anybody want to go on vacation to Baghdad? Hmm? Let's go on a cruise, Prabhu. Let's go to North Korea. Let's go visit wonderful North Korea. Or Beirut. I hear they have lots of fireworks. Real fireworks. Or how about anybody want to take their next birth in Sudan? Right? What is that place now? There's millions of people leaving because of starvation. Somalia. Yeah, I'll take my next birth in Somalia. Great. No. Krishna even says in the Bhagavad Gita, you can go to the highest planet down to the lowest, doesn't matter. They're all places of repeated birth and death and suffering. Dukalayam ashasvatam. The creator, right? Just like I have this iPod, right? So this iPod comes with instructions, and you follow the instructions, you use it. So the manufacturer of some product always has the instruction manual. The constructor of this material world, Krishna, says in his Bhagavad Gita, by the way, this material world that I created, dukalayam ashasvatam, it's temporary and full of suffering. That's why I don't want to come back. I believe Krishna. If Krishna, the manufacturer, says that this world is a temporary place of suffering, I'd have to be an idiot to want to come. Yeah, I want more suffering. Anybody here want more suffering? I've never seen anybody come up to me for Ashirvad and say, Prabhuji, please bless me so that I can have more suffering. No. I've been doing this for many years. Everybody is asking, please, Prabhuji, I'm suffering, relieve my suffering. Yes. Krishna is saying the same thing. Don't come back. And it's real simple. He's telling you how to do it. You don't want to come back? Good. All you have to do is understand Krishna's birth and activities in truth. Just for understanding. That is only one reason why I love Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to talk about Krishna.